Hey everyone, welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a weekly podcast about lifestyle and healthy eating. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative yet entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
We'll cover everything but the kitchen sink. Each week, we'll discuss topics ranging from how to protect yourself from developing cancer, spicy foods to rev up the libido, to caring for your palliative grandfather with Alzheimer's.
We'll also delve into more complex issues like, what the heck is oat milk? Why doesn't my butt fit into these jeans? And every guy's favorite question, will eating spinach really make it bigger? Join us each week as we strive to educate, enlighten, and entertain you. Do you have dentophobia? According to recent stats, up to 1 in 4 people have a fear of going to the dentist. Your diet and oral care play a significant role in maintaining the health of your teeth and gums. There's a lot more to oral care than just removing the spinach from your pearly whites. If you want to keep those pearly whites intact and keep your distance from the screech of the dentist drill, then listen in to today's episode as we discuss everything you need to know about nutrition and oral health.
Hey, Rob.
Oh, hi, Sandra.
Hi. Today we're talking about chewing your way to good health, oral and dental health.
You know who I bet has really good dental health?
Who?
Sorry, this is just right off the top of my head based on what you just said. Cows. Do cows even have teeth? Because they're constantly chewing, right? This is...
I don't know.
You don't know what to say to me. Okay, carry on.
That's true. Yeah, but definitely. Right, they have different teeth than like canine, for instance.
That's because, just the image I got in my head when you were saying chewing your way. I'm just thinking about cows. Chew, chew, chew. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about oral and dental health.
Yes. And it's episode 15.
Oh, well, we're getting up there.
That's right. Yes. So you know that, do you remember we talked about eyes and eyes are the window to the soul?
Right.
Well, guess what? Gums are a gateway to the bloodstream.
You know, I had a funny analogy for that too. If you think of your body as a country,
yeah,
your mouth is like the entryway. It's like the border, right?
Right.
And so you got to be like really like, you got to have like good border control to be watching what goes in your mouth because that affects your whole body and your teeth and all that. So
wow, what an interesting
I know, my mind
metaphor.
Works in funny ways, but
that's awesome.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was gonna say, because the gums can be the gateway to the bloodstream, and with the millions of bacteria in the mouth, if you're not properly brushing and flossing regularly, then it can, you know, plaque can build up and it can result in gingivitis and periodontal disease and tooth decay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just saying.
Right.
Right? But same kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
You're funny. Yeah, it's interesting because it really is the source of many problems with health down the line.
Gum disease, you mean, or just dental, like oral issues?
Absolutely. Oral issues.
Yeah.
You know, the implications of poor dental hygiene in older years just are exemplified. Like it's crazy. I mean, what you see, because people, if they don't have teeth and they have, you know, dentures and maybe not fitting well, and then they have to have their texture of the food modified, so like minced or pureed or blenderized, that kind of affects your quality of life and your enjoyment of one of those simple pleasures of life with food.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, the pandemic accelerated problems with for people not getting to the dentist to get those proactive dental cleanings and screening and checkups. Yeah for like a year or two, right?
That is true. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing. You know, we all know it's really important to eat well and brush your teeth and floss your teeth. But it's really important because chronic gum inflammation and periodontal disease can have major risk factors for health in the long term.
Okay. That's a big one.
Yeah. What do you think in terms of, have you heard like how gum disease can affect other parts of the body?
You're putting me on the spot here.
I'm sorry.
I just don't remember, but it makes sense that it would, right?
Yeah, like heart disease and cardiovascular disease.
Well, I know they check for oral cancer they're checking for?
Yeah.
With that little tool they have in the when you get your checkup?
The light that the oral cancer screening. Yeah, that is really important. And if the dentist asks if you want that, I think that's a really good thing to have anytime they ask, because prevention for any oral cancer is so key. Then if it, you know, spreads, or if it gets to a place where you have to have surgery and then radiation and chemo and all that, because it's preventative and proactive screening is really important.
Yeah. So you don't want that in your mouth happening, cancer, I mean.
Oh, it's just, it's such a, you know, obviously it would impact your nutrition.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's on the list for sure, is risk factors for health problems in the long term. Cancer's on there. Diabetes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
It can affect lung disease, like pneumonia, for instance, like bacterial pneumonia. So if you don't swallow properly and you have food that gets into your lung, that can be, you know, part of developing lung problems.
Oh, that's true.
And even actually pregnancy complications, like low birth weight of the newborn, if you have chronic gum inflammation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and periodontal disease.
All the related issues, hey?
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. So the proper oral hygiene is pretty critical. And what does that mean?
It means to brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it eat stuff that isn't going to cause issues in the first place. Well, I mean, to avoid things that are going to cause issues.
Right. Or just be mindful of how you eat and the timing of your eating, how that might impact your teeth. So yeah, oral hygiene is like, it keeps teeth free from decay and infection. And brushing and flossing is, you know, preventative, and that's part of the oral hygiene, like the daily habits we have that is really important for gum health and oral hygiene.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, also chewing your food slowly and thoroughly is key for good digestion.
Well, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. And
masticating.
Exactly. We talked about that in the mastication diet, right?
Exactly. Horace, wasn't that his name? Horace something or other, the masticator.
Funny. Well, you know, the gut-brain connection that we allude to sometimes, 60 to 70% of your immune system's in the digestive tract.
Say that again?
60 to 70% of your immune system is coming from, like, gut, digestive tract.
Oh, really?
So it's keeping your body healthy and protecting from invaders. So like you said, the mouth is like the border.
Yeah, the invaders, the terrorists getting into your body through the mouth. Gotta protect that mouth.
Yeah, so digestive issues can be related to nerves, like because the gut-brain connection, but it also could be related to food not being properly masticated or chewed.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's all, it's all related in terms of gut health and digestion and how our body, you know, processes and metabolizes our food.
Okay.
So the mouth is an incredible place.
It sure is.
Well, there's a book called Gut by Julia Enders. It's a great, great book, and it's the inside story of our body's most underrated organ.
The inside story.
Isn't that awesome? The
gut. That's great.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a little bit about mouth.
Okay, I'll just be over here.
Okay. The mouth is a place of superlatives. This is on page 82. The most powerful muscles in our body.
For those of you who are following along.
That's right. The most powerful muscles in our body are the jaw muscles. The body's most flexible, striated, not smooth, muscle is the tongue, and working together, they are not only incredible crunchers, they are also nimble manipulators.
Oh, there you go.
Another candidate for the record books is tooth enamel.
Really? Tooth enamel?
Tooth enamel is the hardest substance produced by the human body.
Well, there you go.
And it needs to be. Since our jaws can exert a pressure of up to 180 pounds or 80 kilos on each one of our molars, or approximately the weight of a grown man.
Wow, that's pretty impressive too.
Yeah, so when we encounter something hard in our foods, like, you know, if you're eating something like in cereal and there's like some nuts or something really, really hard, we pound it with almost the equivalent force of an entire football team jumping up and down on it before we swallow it.
And you think my analogies are funny.
This is a great book.
That's awesome.
All that power is not necessary to deal with a piece of cake, because that is, well, she says, just a few girls in tutus and ballet slippers will suffice to get right. That one down.
There's a lot going on in your mouth.
That's right. So the next part of the mouth, I just want to just round this up with the tongue. So the tongue plays an important part in mastication.
Okay.
It acts like a football coach, gathering any bits of cake, say you're eating cake, that may be hiding from the chewing action and guiding them back into the game.
Hmm.
When the mouthful of cake is sufficiently mushy or mushy, it is ready for swallowing. The tongue rounds up about half an ounce, about 20 milliliters of cake mush, and presses it against the palate, the stage curtain of the esophagus, which is the next structure down that tube. It works like a light switch. When the tongue presses against it, the swallowing reflex starts automatically. We close our mouth, since breathing must stop for swallowing to take place. The ball of cake mush, known medically as the bolus, now makes its way toward the pharyngeal area, and it's time for the dancers to enter the stage and the show to start.
I got all sorts of images in my head right now.
So we're just going to, on this episode, just talk about that phase of the mouth and the teeth and the gums, and we're not going to go lower into the pharynx and the esophagus for this one, but we'll talk definitely in a future episode about gut health and the gut biome and everything. But just to know, as Rob said, your mouth is like the border. It's like the...
You like that.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome. That's a great thing. First time I've ever heard that is right now. That's great. Yeah, so that just kind of gives us a picture of how important the certain structures in our mouth are, the tongue, the force of the jaws, the tooth enamel, like how strong it is. All those things are super important structures to help the digestion of our food, so that we can get energy from it and we can grow and develop and be healthy.
Right. That sounds good.
And as you mentioned earlier, certain foods eaten daily and also the timing of meals and snacks impact teeth and gums.
Right.
So if you eat sweet foods or drinks, smaller amount at mealtimes instead of snacks, unless you're brushing after snacks.
Right, which not many people probably do.
Well, it was interesting. Just this past week, I met a dental hygienist at a prenatal group I was involved in, and she mentioned that while she was working in an orthodontist office, she'd see teens that, like smoothie drinkers, like the, you know, moms had given them like smoothies, or they made their own smoothies for breakfast, and then they'd take them to school and they'd sip on them over a 3 or 4 hour period.
Right.
But these teens would get their braces off and they'd have these little square brown shapes on their teeth where the braces were removed from decay.
Really?
Yeah, because what happens is in the mouth, it takes 20 minutes for the saliva to neutralize from sipping, from one sip of a sweetened beverage. So
it takes 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So wow. That's an acid attack on the teeth.
For 20 minutes.
Okay. Exactly. So if you're sipping, so it's 20 minutes and then another sip, another 20 minutes. So if you're sipping all morning, that's a constant, your body's trying to neutralize that saliva. And what's happening is you're getting the acid attack on the teeth and you're getting decay.
Right. I guess it's the same with not just smoothies, but drinking coffee, like sugared coffee.
Absolutely.
It's going to have the same tea, pop.
Yeah.
Anything like that you're sipping on. It's best to just, well, not guzzle it, but drink it in a faster period of time than...
That's exactly what she says to the clients that they had, or just from seeing that happen so often. They do recommend, like, if you're going to have a sweet drink, drink it and not just sip on it for hours. And the same with like lattes and like other things, like you said.
Yeah. You got to eat slow, but drink fast.
That's funny. And the best fluid is?
Water.
Yeah. And black tea, like, or you basically tea with no sugar or milk in it.
And yeah. Yeah.
Like this one, green tea.
There you go.
So there's no acid attacks happening with that.
That's true.
But the acid attacks also on the teeth happen with sticky sweet foods.
Well, that makes sense. They stick to your teeth.
Like those granola bars that are dipped with chocolate or yogurt, or basically icing. And kids have those in their snack, like for lunch snacks. And those are so brutal on the teeth because the granola bar is sticky. And then that icing, and it just sits on the teeth.
That's one of those foods that people think of. They're like healthy. They're kind of like a health bar.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, they're marketed that way. So you think it's like, oh, this healthy snack bar. But they're just, yeah, they're not.
They're like chocolate bars, pretty much. Like it's like sending a chocolate bar, you know, after Halloween. Like, here, have the rest of your Halloween candy in your lunch. It's really not great. And the same for adults, for anyone eating those kind of chocolate bars. And one episode we'll do a comparison of different granola bars and sports bars.
It'd be interesting to actually compare it to a chocolate bar.
Yeah, I think it's similar. Like then the sugar and the so
it's amazing.
Yeah, and then dried fruit is another one that, you know, sticky sweet sticks to your teeth, little acid attacks on your teeth.
It's good for you, but you want to brush your teeth after, right? So it doesn't sit on your teeth.
Yeah, and it's better actually just maybe dried fruit to have it with a meal. Or we're going to talk a little bit about enamel-friendly snacks. And the dried fruit would, yeah, like you said, like in a trail mix or...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, but some other sticky sweet foods that can be not great for your teeth. Fig Newtons or fig cookies or bakery items with syrups.
Oh, right, like a Danish with a creamy jelly filling or something.
Yeah, or a lot of the donuts that have like the icing or ice cream with chewy chunks or gummies, chewy candies or chocolates.
Anything chewy pretty much is going to stick to your teeth.
Yeah, so it, you know, if you're going to have that, it's better to have it with the meal. So then you have lots of the acid attack, it is happening all at once at the mealtime, and then you would maybe rinse with water, like to wash it down, and then maybe brush after. Like we do, it is suggested to brush twice a day, like after, you know, in the morning and at night, or even three times a day.
Yeah, probably at least twice a day.
Yeah, at least twice a day. And definitely, obviously, talking to people in the Canadian Dental Association or BC Dental Association or your hygienist or your dentist or the people to talk to about oral hygiene and dental health. And this is just to highlight, you know, some of the factors that can impact our gum health and our dental health and that can impact our overall health over time.
Right.
So a couple additional strategies for reducing sugar in the diet, because sugar can affect our tooth enamel, would be to look at the breakfast cereals you're eating, and anything that has more than 8 grams of sugar per serving is probably too much sugar. And the exception is bran cereals, because they do tend to be sweeter, but they also have a lot of the fiber.
Right. So what was that number again?
8 grams.
8 grams. Mm-hmm. Of sugar.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the ones we looked at when we were reading labels, they were like 2 grams. And but remember I think granola was 24 grams of sugar per serving.
But that was that was in a big serving.
Right. The serving was like a whole cup, which is a lot of granola. That's true.
So 8 grams seems like a lot still.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the point is some of those really overly sugary cereals are not great. And there's also the whole issue of over the years, I think in the 70s, it really came to a point where the government officials and health experts were saying, hey, wait, these food companies were basically marketing like crazy to children, these sugary cereals. And then the kids would be asking their parents for them, and then the parents would just buy them, and then kids are growing up on sugary cereals. So this isn't good for their overall health, or definitely their teeth,
right,
their dental health. And I think it was, well, there's quite a few different, I was reading the Salt, Sugar, Fat book by Michael Moss, and he talked all about the politics of the food industry. And there's a lot in that. And also, do you remember when Jamie Oliver from the food, he put out Food Revolution, and he had, he was showing how like the average 2-year-old can identify, you know, junk food brands and like easily identify all these commercially marketed brands that they've seen on TV, but they didn't even know that what a tomato looked like, or they couldn't say, oh, that's a potato, or that's a,
yeah, that's crazy,
you know, that's asparagus or pea or whatever. So yeah,
the power of marketing. Hey,
yeah, and the fact that the marketing is for these really not healthy foods, and it's aimed at kids. So it's, and they, I remember also it was like more cool, like when your friends had junk food, or like the certain cereals that were, you know,
they'd seen them on TV, so it was cool.
Yeah. And then, oh, what, you just have an apple in your lunch? Or they were basically, it made it look like you were one of the cool kids if you had some processed, overly processed packaged food, junk food, versus the natural healthy fruits and vegetables, which are never sexy, right?
Well, they're never marketed either.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see an ad for bananas very often.
No, that's right.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they need to start, the produce industry needs to start marketing.
Yeah. Well, there has been some, like some marketing, but the dollars don't compare in terms of the budgets for the big food companies. The Center for Science in the Public Interest, CSPI, they wrote the Nutrition Action newsletter, and that newsletter really helps to highlight the sugar amount in food products and just comparisons of different food products. So it's a really good thing to look up if you haven't seen that one before.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
So the Center of Science in the Public Interest, okay. CSPI, a Nutrition Action newsletter is what they put out every month. And I think they started back in the 80s when really highlighted that, wait, this is really not good for the public, like the amount of sugar in these cereals that kids are eating like first thing in the morning.
Yeah, right. The other thing you see too is like toddlers with little sippy cups full of juice. And that's just like you were saying earlier about just flooding your teeth with that sugar and the acid attack and all that.
Absolutely. That is, yeah, that's a huge thing. Or kids drinking big gulps and, oh my gosh, there's so much sugar in a big gulp. Well, in a can of like a cola drink would be 8 to 10 teaspoons of sugar. But when you, if it's a big gulp, there's like something like 52 teaspoons of sugar. And yeah, then they're unlimited refills. Well, I don't think they do that anymore since the pandemic, but it used to be unlimited refills. So you think, okay, not just your teeth, but my goodness, like how bad that is for your health.
Oh, for sure. It's cheap, which is the attraction, I guess, but holy, just no good for anything in your body.
Oh yeah, all that sugar. So there's ways to, other strategies for reducing sugar in the diet would be sweetening foods with spices, or add vanilla to coffee instead of sugar, and use cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger instead of sugar in certain things.
Okay, yeah.
And also reducing sugar in recipes for baked goods by a third. You can usually get away with reducing the amount of sugar, and you can look up online how to have healthier recipes. And a lot of times you can replace different like applesauce or fruit to change the amount of sugar in your recipe.
Right. That makes sense.
And also just for oral hygiene, if you like to chew gum, if you chew sugarless gum, that kind of helps to clean the mouth out, and also brushing twice a day.
Yeah, of course.
And just rinsing after, you know, just rinse your mouth with water. You don't need the alcohol containing mouth washes because they can actually dry the membranes in the mouth. So it's better actually just water to just keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean through the day when you're not eating.
Perfect. Yeah. You just keep things moving in there so they can't settle. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the enamel friendly snack. So if you do snack between meals, there's foods that are better for the teeth than others. So we mentioned the sticky sweet foods that weren't so good, but there's, you think of like hard cheeses and fruit would be an enamel-friendly snack.
That works for me.
You love anything with cheese, right?
I do.
Nuts and seeds would be also good for your teeth and healthy, heart healthy.
Right.
Hummus and red pepper wedges would be a pretty good one.
Okay.
Tuna in tomatoes, like, you know, tuna mixed up, or just tuna in a, if you had a tomato and put tuna with it.
Tuna in a tomato sounds interesting.
Or in a pepper.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then just cut up vegetables are excellent.
Always.
Yeah. And you can use hummus. That's the best dip. Cottage cheese and fruit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Salmon sandwich.
Also a good one.
Turkey roll up.
Yum.
Avocado and rye crisps.
Yeah.
Yogurt and cucumber.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's like tzatziki almost.
Yeah, I suppose so, if, depending on the flavor.
Yeah. And celery and peanut butter.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's a good one for kids, right? Hard-boiled egg with hot sauce.
If you like hot sauce, which I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody for sure.
No.
Or edamame beans.
Edamame.
Those are excellent snacks too.
Lots of good ideas there. And just remember to brush your teeth when you're all done. All those yummy snacks.
So with proper prevention and mouth care, oral health can keep your systems running more smoothly for the long term and help prevent chronic diseases.
Exactly. It's not just about cavities. There's other issues that we need to think about as well. So that's kind of what this is all about, just identifying some of those other things and giving you some strategies.
And if you need to book an appointment with your dental hygienist, I think it's high time to do that.
There you go. Get on that phone to the dentist. All right, we'll be back next week with something fun once again. All right, have a good week.
Bye, Rob.
Bye, Sandra. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.